Romans 12, 1 and 2. Then the second is Mark 10, 42 to 45. So I read Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then the second Bible reference is Mark 10, 42 to 45. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to save, to serve, and to give his life for ransom for many. Okay, so our topic this morning is sacrifice, an act of worship. And the quarter theme is living a life of sacrifice and service. So we call on our speaker, our dear brother, Mr. Ifeanyi Anagho, to share the word for us. Thank you.
Shall we bow down our heads to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for the opportunity to be among your people. Thank you, Lord, for the word you have prepared. Thank you, Lord, because your desire is to locate each and every person here by your word. We pray that your word will touch each person at the point of his or her need. Lord, we pray that your word will impact lives and transform lives. We ask, O Lord, our God, that each person who has come here today, and even those who are online, that, Lord, they will not leave this meeting the same. That your glory will begin to shine in their lives. Father, I pray for myself. I ask you to hide me behind the cross. Let not man or woman see me. Let them see you and hear you. To the glory and to the honor of your most high name. Thank you, our Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. It's a pleasure once again to be here today to share a few thoughts with us quickly on the topic that says sacrificial service, an act of worship. Sacrificial service, an act of worship. Brethren, there are a few words that people do not like to hear. One of them is sacrifice. Sacrifice sounds very, very difficult. It's a junior brother of suffering. And so we hate it. We prefer that others will go and sacrifice and fight the battle and we collect the spoil. And each time we hear sacrifice, Pentecostals will say, it's not my portion. Praise the Lord. I like this church. I like this church because your sermon series speaks to some issues. When I was here in January, it was sin and its consequences. Today, it is sacrificial service, an act of worship. Assuming that God says, I won't accept any worship without sacrifice, how shall we stand? What will be our ranking in the economy of heaven? I won't accept any worship without sacrifice. The two texts we read, Romans 12, 1 to 2, and Mark 10, 42 to 45, I will reverse them. I will begin with Mark 10. And then I'll read Romans 12. You see, because what we're talking about today hangs on these two verses, these two scriptures. The sermon today stands on two legs, two clear legs, anchored by those two portions of scriptures we've read. And I can tell you something, brethren. We are praying for Nigeria today about our challenges. And the context of our meeting this morning is both intranational, that is to say, concerns Nigeria, and international. Internationally, I hope you know what happened last week around Israel. Hallelujah. Because whether I like it or not, the king is coming. I said it here in January. The king is coming. And things are happening to ensure that we know that he's on his way. Irrespective of the desires of men, God has an agenda that is working out by himself. And God is his own interpreter. When the prime minister of Israel was speaking to the assembly, the house was basically empty. As it was coming up, we were going. You know why? Because the whole world is turning against Israel, as prophesied in scriptures. And the Bible says this thing will come to pass before the end comes. I just see it in the context of Daniel chapter 30, of Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Please pull it up. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Pull it up for me so that I can be turning to scriptures just like that. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Talking about, he says, "For alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Hello? He shall be saved out of it. No matter the number of missiles you launch, there is the rock of Israel. Who will defend them? Get it clear. I don't want to go into international politics, but I want to be biblical. That's the international context of what they're talking about today. Sacrificial service and act of worship. Brethren, the Bible says, that is Jesus speaking, in Mark chapter 10, that place we read. Please pull it up again. Pull it up again. We'll just say a few things and then we'll close. Pull it up again. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus was talking to his followers, his disciples. People of God, the import of discipleship is life transfer. That is to say that as you are following a discipler or a master, after a period of time, your life will begin to look like his life. You have transferred life. Brethren, our commandment is not to go and make just believers. It is disciples. People who by their lifestyles have engaged with the master and are living like him by the grace of God. So these were people who are following Jesus and have followed him for about 3 years. And suddenly among them, they began to argue as to who the leader is. In the coming kingdom, who shall be president and vice president? Jesus is there, then first vice president, this person, second vice president, that person. In fact, James and John recruited their mother for a prayer meeting, intercession. And Jesus had to call them and say, "Listen, among the Gentiles, there are rulers, not leaders." Praise the Lord. So those who lead them, those who rule them, are benefactors. They extract from them. But among you, it ought not to be so. Praise the Lord. It ought not to be so. He said, because he that will be leader among you must be the servant of all. Leadership is about giving, not taking. Giving and giving sacrificially. Not taking in the kingdom. Not taking. And taking and oppressing people unto death. He said, anybody who aspires to be leader among you, he will be the servant of all. He now summarizes by saying something like this. Look at me, I'm a model. For the Son of Man did not come to serve. Not come to be served. But to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. For the Son of Man did not come to be served. Even though he's entitled to service. Because in heaven they served him. But when he came to the earth, his aim was not to be served. But to serve. self-sacrificially and give his life a ransom for many. I know you are sure that the word ransom is very common now. Hello? Is there anybody here who, that by any means have no understanding of the word ransom? Ransom is the money you pay in exchange for somebody who is in captivity, who has been captured illegally. You pay ransom for him. You pay ransom. Without ransom, he cannot be released. Some of you here looking at me, may God have mercy on us. I'm not a candidate for ransom. I hope you're not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. It's the money they pay for somebody who is in captivity to be released. And Jesus paid this ransom so that the captain of captivity, the devil, will release us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He paid the price. Nobody could pay the price. No other person could pay the price. He paid it so that the devil will have no right over my life anymore. No right over your life anymore. Yes. The unfortunate news is that so many people have not engaged that ransom. So many people are still living their lives by themselves, unto themselves. They have not engaged that ransom. And so they're still in the camp of the enemy. Not born again, not led by the Spirit of God, living by themselves, according to their own power, by themselves. I was listening to the Bible study this morning, and I was blessed. We're talking about self. And somebody was trying to explain that part of what God expects is that we should be so led by the Spirit of God that even if your mind is telling you to do something, you must submit that thing to what the Spirit of God is saying. It's when you begin to live that way that you can begin to please God. When you begin to put aside your own ideas, your own competencies, and begin to listen to God, that is when you can begin to please God. Praise the Lord. We're dealing with sacrifice, sacrificial service as an act of worship. Some time ago at Lagos Business School, I don't know how many, some years ago, I was invited to take a topic on leadership for a professional institute. And I was getting ready, reading Peter Drucker and other documents on leadership, masterful documents on leadership. When I came to Lagos, in the hotel where I stayed, I just knelt down to talk, to prepare myself. And I heard God say, take the Bible to that place. Brethren, you see my embarrassment. You are coming to a professional seminar involving Muslims, Hindus, Christians, all kinds of people there. And they are telling you to take the Bible to go there. How will you feel? Are you going to make a mockery of, not going to make a mockery of yourself? I felt like a fool. But you know what? I have learned in my small life. Hey, the Bible says not my will. Jesus had his own will. And when his will clashed with the Father's will, he surrendered. He said, not my will, but yours. I quickly packed Peter Drucker and other management books aside. Took my Bible. Living Bible. Go to the hotel where the meeting was taking place. Here was Patrick Tommy, faculty. And poor me, faculty. I wanted it to disappear, but I couldn't disappear to any place. And when Patrick Tommy began to talk, man, you everywhere was vibrating. When he finished, they asked us to come out and take breakfast. I said they should go. As I went, I sat down there. I said, Lord, I'm in trouble. I began to touch the seats. I said, Father, when they come back, when they hear me, change things. And when they came back, I said, our text today is Mark chapter 10. Verse 42 to 45. And I read that scripture. What you read today, I read it to them. I said, Jesus said that anybody who wants to be a leader will be a servant of all. For he himself came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I started speaking. Brethren, if you dropped pin, you hear the sound of that pin because everyone was quiet. When I finished, the first person that put up his hand to ask question was a Muslim. He said, where did you read? Can I see it? I showed him. He copied. Another person came, copied. In that meeting was a former minister of state for power, a Muslim. He copied too. Only for me to go back to Abuja. to visit him in his office. He said, fine. You know what happened to me? I said, no. He said, I went to the Minister of Police Affairs, who was owing me money. On his table was my file. And as I was talking about the fee, we were talking about bribe. And I told him, I'm not going to give you bribe, because I had been a minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria before. And if you are going to approve my pay, fine. If you are not, another minister will come and approve it. I got up and I left. He said, when I was talking to that man, it was their voice at Lagos Business School that I was hearing. Ha! I said, God. So there was wisdom in taking that scripture there. For a Muslim minister to say that it was my voice was hearing, challenging him not to submit and succumb, then something was happening. Brethren, we have come to a point in our lives when we have to hear God. As you hear God, God will make impossible things possible. In Jesus' name. So Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Now, having seen what Jesus did for us, the sacrifice, the Golgotha he went to, the price he paid, that the enemy cannot by force me anymore. Hello? I'm not a slave anymore to the devil. And you are not. You cannot actually stand and say to the devil, who sent you? Who sent you? Who sent you? My younger daughter had a challenge. The person who was praying today prayed about women waiting for children. My younger daughter had a challenge. Married. You know the pressure. After 2 years, no child. 3, no child. And they were telling her you have to go for IVF. And they went for tests. And test says natural birth, 0. IVF, 40%. They were just whispering, my wife and my daughter. I didn't know anything about it, though. They didn't tell me. Until one day, my daughter came into my office. Said, Daddy, this is the matter. They said, because I was not sexually active, I had fibroid. And when they removed the fibroid, there was scar. That conception cannot take place. I said, what? I said, you are living according to what I told you. Don't be sexually active before marriage. Oh, you have been penalized for that? I said, my daughter, go. You know what? Don't ever think about this matter again. Let me take it up with God. Let me go to God in prayer and find out whether the judge of the whole earth will not do what is right. Say, go. Just go and eat. If you think about it, just pray. Just forget. Tell the devil, my father is looking at it. And I went to God in prayer for me. I said, Lord, will the judge of the whole earth not do what is right? Are you going to penalize this girl? Because she kept her chastity, it's not right. Brethren, that day you would think I was fighting God. I wasn't fighting him. I was just pleading my cause. Telling him the reason why he should act. And as I was crying and praying and crying and praying, I heard a voice from him. He said, November. Hallelujah. He said, November. I'm saying this so that you understand. That you see, so many things we deal with is because we think we're able to handle them by ourselves. When you reach the limit of the extremities of your power and competence, God will take over. He said, November. I called my wife. I said, the Lord said, November. I don't know what it means. I called my daughter. I said, the Lord said, November. She got angry. Got very angry with me. She didn't show it until much later. She said she thought I was trying to excite her. Put up her faith for dashing of failure. But true to God, November, she got pregnant. As I'm talking to you now, here's a child. Hello? Showing me that God remains faithful. Engage him. Before I came for this meeting, I prayed. I said, Lord, anybody here who is expecting pregnancy, Father, do something. Do something. God's word is real. God's word is real. God's word is real. So, brethren, we are called to live a life that is living sacrifice.
The first and the brightest example in the Old Testament of a man who is considered living sacrifice. Can you guess who the person was? Living sacrifice. The world is used to dead sacrifices. Every sacrifice you see in this world is a dead one. A goat slaughtered on the road. Dog slaughtered on the road. Human being slaughtered on the road. They are all dead sacrifice. So what is a living sacrifice? The world does not engage with living sacrifice. It doesn't. The first example of somebody who is a living sacrifice in scripture is that young man in his age, in his day, called Isaac. Hello? Isaac was on his own. No? Young boy, an output of the promise of God. And God said, it's in Isaac that your generation shall be named. And Abraham transferred all his love to a child that had waited for 25 years. Isaac was the idol of Abraham's life. And so one day, God intervened. Didn't come to Isaac, came to Abraham. In Genesis 22, yes, pull it up, please. Genesis 22. Pull it up, quickly. Verse 1 to 3. And God appeared unto Abraham and said, Abraham, and like usual, like a man who is fully surrendered, he said, here am I, or here I am. Hallelujah. May God bring you to a point when anytime he calls, you will say, here I am. And that place where you are, that's where you will be. Hello? You are telling God, I am here. If you come, you locate me here. God is not like that man who tells his wife, I am in the office, when he's in the hotel. Hello? No. May there not be such practitioners, perverse practitioners in this assembly. In Jesus' name. Abraham said, I am here. And God said to Abraham, now, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell you of. Brethren, burnt offering is not peace offering. It's not meat offering. In peace offering and meat offering, after sacrificing, you can eat some meat. There are remnants to show that there was a sacrifice. Burnt offering is a sacrifice you offer, and everything is burnt to ashes. They call it holocaust. Everything is burnt to ashes. No remnant of life. That's the maximum sacrifice anybody can render to God in the Old Testament. And the Bible said Abraham woke up knowing that Isaac is a person who will carry his genealogy. He woke up and called the boy and said, we're going to offer sacrifice to God somewhere. The boy willingly, about 17, he willingly agreed and followed his father. Along the way, after 3 days, as they were approaching Mount Moriah, where God said the thing will take place, he now turned to the father and said, hey, we have fire. We have firewood. I haven't seen you carrying a knife. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Drama. And Abraham, in the pain of his heart, said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Only for him to get to the mountain, erected on the altar, and grab Isaac, tied him up, put him on the altar. Isaac was 17 and could have just kicked his father out. But you know what? He submitted. May God give us Isaacs in our lives. In Jesus' name. He submitted. And the father tied him. And the father lifted his hand to stab the boy to death. As far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was a goner. Was dead. And God stopped him. God said, Abraham, I now know. Abraham looked behind and saw a ram. Not knowing that as he left his house, as he was coming to the mountain, the lamb was somewhere coming to the mountain too. Hallelujah. God is the provider. God is Jehovah Jireh. That's what they call the Jehovah Jireh. And he collected the ram and sacrificed the ram. And Isaac came down from under the altar a living sacrifice. The only person who could start stopping from dying was God. Hallelujah. He began to live his life unto God. Praise the Lord. He began to live his life unto God. And anybody who is here today, who is claiming to live a life of a living sacrifice, you must be living your life unto God. It means that your ideas, your ego, your self-life has to be massacred, slaughtered. The conflict of wills, when it comes, you must surrender to God. I must surrender to God. That is what it means to be living sacrifice. God will have his way. No longer me. No longer you. And from that moment, Isaac began to live the life of somebody who is alive despite being sacrificed. Hello? The natural love Abraham had for Isaac died. The Bible said he recovered Isaac, received from Isaac. Hebrews 11 says he received Isaac back as somebody who received him from the dead. But it was not the same Isaac who went to the altar that came back. Hello? Bible said later that Isaac had a name for God. And what is that name? Genesis 31. Isaac had a name for God. Genesis 31 was the place where Laban was pursuing Jacob. And in verse 42, as Laban caught up with him, and they were engaged now. Verse 42 says, Jacob was talking to Laban, said, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely that would have sent me away now empty. So God became what Isaac called the fear of God. The fear of Isaac. So Isaac began to walk with God in such a way that it was obvious to everybody that Isaac was fearing God in honor. In honor. In your office, can they say you are a God-fearing man? In your business, can they say you are a God-fearing man? Or do you exploit other people like other people? A Christian businessman is not a businessman Christian. I've said it here before. A Christian businessman is first and foremost a Christian. Than a businessman. He deals with people according to the protocols of godliness. That in his business, you will see that this man is godly. So Isaac became, God became unto Isaac, the fear of Isaac. The fear of Isaac. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Brethren, you know what happened? This matter is a serious matter. And my prayer is that as you go back, ask yourself questions. In my home, in my family, in my business, in my work, in my office, who tells me what I do? Am I willing to obey God at the point of being humiliated? At the point of being disowned? I think it was here I shared my testimony, how a policeman arrested me somewhere and took me to jail. He asked me to give bribe, I refused to give bribe. What is bribe of 200 naira for a man like me? But you see, you can do it in secret. And God is saying, I'm watching. I opted to go to jail than to pay 200 naira. When I got there, they were pushing me into the jail. Because I told him I was a pastor. They said, you're a pastor. I said, yes. They said, because you're a pastor and you didn't obey the Bible, go to jail. I said, what's the Bible? They said, the Bible says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And to God what belongs to God. For you, the reason to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, go to jail. And they pushed me into the jail. I landed in jail and slept in jail that night. The next day, they brought me out. I was there waiting until 8 o'clock when the Oga came. The Oga came and saw me and asked them, who is this man? They said, the people who came in the night, who handed over to us in the night, handed him over to us. We don't know him. That was when the man sent for me. I gave him my card and he saw I was a lawyer. They told him I was a pastor. In answer, I was a lawyer. He started crying. He said, why did you do this? What could you, what? When I saw his position, the man started begging me to leave jail. I remember the Apostle Paul. I said, Nida, let me pray for you. He knelt down. I prayed for him. Committed him to God's hands. As I was leaving, I entered the car. I said, God, why did I have to sleep in jail tonight? Why? What a shame. He said, my son, so that nobody will ever challenge you again or intimidate you with going to jail. If they say they will take you to jail, you told them, I've gone to jail before. Huh? I've gone to jail before. So there's no problem. Praise the Lord. Are we going to obey God? It's still as simple as this. Up to a point where God will receive glory on account of obedience. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Hello? Didn't we pray the Lord's Prayer this morning? Huh? If I ask anybody to pray it now, we can pray it off by heart. Huh? Give me this day my daily bread. Hello? Is that lying there? Sacrificial living means living day by day and trusting God for supplies. Hello? If God will mark me and mark you by that standard, will I stand? Will you stand? If God follows you to a house now in your deep freezer, is there no meat, packed, because you bought them when they were cheap, and you outlined them, this one is for this one, and so you can tell yourself, soul, relax, despite whatever Tinubu is doing, I can enjoy myself. And you knew that, you said to God, give me this day, my daily, when the monthly bread is there, yearly bread is there, it's already stored. And when he prayed that prayer, like this morning now, when he prayed it, God is looking. He's looking because he knows. You have enough for 1 year. And you're saying, give me this day my daily bread. Hallelujah. The reason why God gives us surplus is not for you to store and prepare for tomorrow. He gave you surplus so you can give sacrificially. Because if you're a supplier, somebody who does not have food to eat today. Eh? Meanwhile, you have food for the next 1 year. And that person will come from church and come to you. Say, madam, you know, today is Sunday. Children will normally ask for rice and stew. I don't have. You know what we normally will do? You say, sister, let us pray. And you pray, you speak in tongues, you say so many things, you say, God shall provide. No, sir. God has provided, and they are in your deep freezer. They are in your store. Go to your store and tell the sister that you've come to a place where God answers prayer. Take half bag of rice. Take this one. Go and feed your family. And you know what will happen? God will replenish. That's how to live sacrificially. Praise the Lord. That's how to live sacrificially. Sacrificial living, an act of worship. Brethren, the word worship appeared for the first time in the Bible in Genesis 22 and verse 5. The word worship appeared for the first time in the entire Bible in Genesis 22 and verse 5. When Abraham told those young men with him, say, stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And I and the lad will come back. Hallelujah. What a prophetic utterance. You know what it means? It meant that Abraham was going to wait. Even if he slaughters Isaac, he will wait. And say, God, this Isaac that I killed now is the one that you said my generation shall be known by. I'm not leaving this mountain to get him up. Hello? He was willing to wait. Because he told his young man, I'm coming back with him. So he saw the whole exercise as sacrificing his only son as an act of worship. What have you sacrificed that pained you well? And you can call it an act of worship. For us, when we sacrifice, you know what will happen? We put a feather on our cap. If we're not careful, you call yourself a chartered sacrificer. Chartered sacrificer. Can go to God in prayer and say, Lord, don't you know I'm a tither? Why must you not bless me? Because I'm a tither. And God is looking at you and your transactions. Brethren, God wants to drag us to a point when we abandon transactional relationship and become relational. Relational with Him. Jesus died on the cross. He gave Himself totally. He didn't give Himself by 10%. It was a total consecration. Can I announce to you this bad news? All the money you have in the bank, all the assets in Germany, in England, in Europe, in America, belong to God. Bad news. In heaven's asset record, your name doesn't appear there as the owner. Your name appears there as steward. Steward of God's resources. So that when God needs that money on earth to do something, you go and sell those assets. You sell them. Your wife will say, what is happening? You say, because God said I should sell. Say, this God, let's go to our pastor and find out from God. This one you are saying, you can say, God said I should sell. Because God has a need of that money here. Hallelujah. God has a need. Are we willing to be on the altar like that? That is what it means to be living sacrifice. You have wealth, but wealth does not have you. You possess money, possess cars, but those cars and money do not have you. They don't possess you. You are willing to release them at any point in time that God says, release. You know why? Because God is in a program of wealth transfer. Hey, all the people who are gathering money here, gathering wealth. Very soon now, hear something. Some preachers will start preaching. 7 steps or 7 buttons to receiving a Rolls Royce when you are 70. Hello? 7 buttons for receiving a Rolls Royce when you turn 70. It will become a preaching topic. And people will rush in. What are the points? What are the points? Because I need my own Rolls Royce. I need my own Rolls Royce. I need my own Rolls Royce. Brethren, are you going to take Rolls Royce to heaven? No! They belong to what will burn to ashes when the Messiah comes. You will burn to ashes. It is your asset register in heaven that counts. That matters. So, brethren, in conclusion, what am I saying? What am I saying? Sacrificial living means that you can be wealthy, but you live frugally. Hello? You can be wealthy, but you live beneath your wealth. Because you're a steward. My people say, in Igbo language, a cloth you borrowed from a woman, you tie around your waist to go to the market. You don't dance too much with it. You don't dance too much, because the woman can come and tap you at the back, say, don't tear my wrapper. The wealth you have is not yours. Have that mental mindset. So that when God asks you to give up, it's easy for you to give up. And you don't give up to become poor. No. Exodus 16 and verse 18. Please, quickly, as I round up now. Exodus 16 and verse 18. Oh. We have gone off, eh? Praise the Lord. God was teaching Moses the principle of relationship in the church in the wilderness. Remember, Moses led the church in the wilderness. Acts 7:38. You're not the first church. The first church was the church in the wilderness. And Moses led them. The day they were going to gather manna, they were asking, what is this? Manna? Manna means what is this? Manna? And God said to Moses, this is the food of the angels that I've given you to eat. Now look at the law governing manna. Verse 16 of Exodus 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. They didn't say woman here. So the man is the breadwinner of the house. Woman is a supporter. Hello? And the children of Israel did so. And gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They had gathered every man according to his eating. Hello? God is saying here, in the church of Jesus Christ, this little assembly, all fingers are not equal. Even though there are some people, no matter how hard you work, you still have lack. There are some other people, small effort, bumper harvest. Why will your dog be eating nice dog food? And there's a brother in your assembly who is wretched, who is poor. When it happened that day in the wilderness, God said, this thing you get at, surplus. This thing you get at, having lack. Measure everything together, omer by omer. And the Bible said, by the time they finished measuring it, the man who got a surplus, the surplus went. The man who got a less, the surplus of somebody else made up for his lack. Are you getting it? And the church could move forward, knowing that God is a replenisher. But knowing our own time, we enjoy riding those big cars and seeing our brethren trekking. Somebody said at that Bible study, and it's talking to my ears, that sacrificial living, part of it is going out of your way. Hello? Doing things not according to your convenience. Going out of your way. Now, when you finish church now, and you're going out, and somebody said, I want a lift. You say, are you going my way? Hello? You know, I live in Ikoyi. Are you from Ikoyi? You say, no. I'm from Aja. So sorry, not going my way. And you carry all those who are going to Ikoyi. You have served according to your convenience. Sacrificial living means going out of your way to deliver service that is inconveniencing to you, but pleasing to God. Me that is preaching it, don't think it's easy for me. It's not. I stood on the cross on an altar like this and preached and preached and preached about this matter. Then one day we were going somewhere and somebody waved us down. I told my wife, I'm in a hurry. She said, remember you're preaching. Quickly, I slammed my brake. Wives are wonderful. They help us to wear the garment of godliness. May God help wives here to feed that ministry in their husbands' lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, what are we saying? We're saying, number one, to live with sacrificial living. Sacrificially. Which is what God calls worship. Acceptable worship. I've said it before. Is to live frugally. It doesn't mean I have to be poor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 15. Paul said, I'm not asking that you have no money to pay school fees for your child. Somebody else has the same need. And you take the money for your child's school fees. And pay somebody else's. And your child stays at home. Paul said, no. Is that what I'm asking for? I'm asking for surplus. Let your surplus make up for somebody else's need. So that in the church, there can be quality. Your value in church is not by what men think you are. Your value in church is what heaven thinks you are. Heaven is the ultimate evaluator of any man. Any woman. Heaven. So Paul said, I'm not saying that you should make yourself poor. And then let the others breach at your expense. No. He said, your surplus is what I'm targeting, not your need. Let your surplus transfer to somebody else's need. So that in God's house, there can be quality. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, that's what you see there. So live frugally. So you can give surplus to people who need it. Hello? There are some people who 1,000 naira means so much to. 2,000. It may not mean to you. But it means to them. Live frugally. So you can give sacrificially. Number two, practice wealth transfer. Hello? That rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, that came to Jesus and said, what am I supposed to do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus said, you know the commandments now, obey them. And the young man could look at Jesus audaciously and say, those commandments have obeyed them. Mark 10, verse 17. He said, what am I lacking now? Jesus said, hi. The Bible said Jesus looked at him and then loved him. Jesus said, now go. Sell all you have. Give to the poor. You have riches in heaven. Come and follow me. And the young man, what he heard, what history recorded that he heard was, go, sell all you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. He didn't hear the slap that said, you have a wealth in heaven. He didn't hear that one. All he heard was, this man is on an impoverishment program with me. I don't want to be poor. Brethren, it's wealth transfer God is asking you to do. There's no other way to transfer your wealth other than investing in things that God calls wise investment. Human beings inclusive. Transfer your wealth. Transfer your wealth. Transfer your wealth, brethren. I have a friend here many years ago, an Indian friend of mine. I call him, his name is Mr. Sharma. Mr. Sharma was a contractor in Nigeria. He kept pushing his old 504 every time. I was a consultant on the project he was constructing. I will sign money for him. Next day, Mr. Sharma is pushing his car. One day I called him. I said, Mr. Sharma, you collected how many millions yesterday? Why are you not fixing your car? Why are you pushing it? He scratched his head like this and said to me, Mr. Nago, any money you pay to me, 1 hour after that money is paid, is my account in England. From England, transfer to India. In India, I'm a big man, no? Even though in Nigeria, I'm a poor man. I'm not a Nigerian. I'm a pilgrim here. In India, I'm a big man. Brethren, in heaven's India, will you be a big man? You will transfer enough wealth from here to make you a big man. Paving the streets of gold, walking on the streets of gold. Or are you going to finish everything here and then go to heaven and be a poor man? May God help us and deliver us. In Jesus' name. So, invest in worthy causes. Finally, brethren, support mission work among nations. Mission is what God is interested in now. Making Calvary to be maximized. Jesus died for people. He died for sinners. He paid the price for every sinner. And they need to know it. And I'm the agent, we're the agent that God needs to use for them to know it. Have an intentional program of investing in missions or other worthy causes that may come across your way. Invest. I didn't say invest in cathedrals. Hello? I didn't say invest in cathedrals. I said invest in missions. God, who is an owner of wealth, will transfer your wealth. I want to stand before him that day because I will stand before him, you stand before him. Let's hear him tell you, welcome. Well done. Let's hear him tell me, welcome. Well done. May God answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, shall we pray?